as we bring in our buddy Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram, who covers the Browns and does a great job of it. Brownzone.com, where you can read all of his work. Scott, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Scott,
how about this? Since, according to footballreference.com, according to them, since leaving Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston is 7-4 as a starting quarterback. Interesting.
Yeah, if you look at some of those stats that he put up when he went to New Orleans, he sat behind Drew Brees, I want to say in 2020, and then he started the first seven games in 21, I think, and got hurt, and then his first three games in 22. But in 21, I think they were 5-2 to start the year, and he was like 14 touchdowns and three picks. And he said last week that being behind Drew Brees and being with Sean Payton really changed how he approached playing the position. So, you know, obviously he could have thrown some picks yesterday, but I do think that he has matured as he's gotten older and probably doesn't make as many mistakes as he used to.
It was clearly a Joe Flacco-like performance and a Joe Flacco-like play called game, even though there was a different guy calling the plays yesterday, Scott.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't think there were any plays that Ken Dorsey called that we hadn't seen Kevin Stefanski call 100 times before. Now, maybe the order of them is different. You know, as a play caller, I think that is certainly possible. But we've seen all those routes. We've seen all those plays. It's interesting that 38-yard winner to Cedric Tillman. You know, maybe Kevin Stefanski isn't as aggressive in that situation. We won't know that. It's obviously worked out great. You got to match up with the safety for the touchdown. But, yeah, it's what we've seen Kevin Stefanski call in the past. It's what we saw him call with Jacoby Brissett and Baker Mayfield and Joe Flacco. They tried to call those plays with Deshaun Watson plenty of times and didn't have the same success. You know, you need a quarterback to run that system that stands in the pocket, hangs in there, and isn't afraid to stretch the field and give his receivers a chance. And, you know, Watson struggled with that. The quick decisions, hanging in the pocket, you know, those were the issues, and Winston just did a better job. Not that the protection wasn't better. And, you know, you can't just point to one thing.
No.
But having a quarterback that hangs in there and makes big throws down the field changes everything about the offense.
All right, what was the difference in the play calling yesterday? And you tell me the impact of Ken Dorsey versus Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, see, I think you can easily separate Deshaun Watson to Jameis Winston and talk about what those differences were. I don't think it's nearly as easy to do that from a play calling perspective. Like I said, I've seen those plays run a billion times with Kevin Stefanski calling them. So I don't know if it would have made any difference, the play caller. And this isn't taking it away from Ken Dorsey. I thought he did a good job. They moved the ball up and down the field. But I thought Kevin Stefanski, throughout his 4.5 years as a play caller, has done a really good job most of the time. So maybe it's just a change and a spark, and you get a new quarterback, so why not make the change to the coordinator? I did think it was interesting when Winston would talk about how in the beginning of the week, Kevin Stefanski said, this is the change I'm making, and went in on it and didn't hide from it. And that's a big change. We know that that's a big change for Kevin Stefanski, and I do think some players responded to, hey, my coach is willing to give this up. He's willing to try something new. So maybe that was the bigger impact than the actual plays being called.
If Jameis Winston goes out and plays reasonably well the rest of the season, there's no possible way they could go back to Deshaun Watson next year, is there? And I say that just from a football, a PR standpoint, and not that Jameis Winston would actually be the guy next year. It's just real clear that, okay, somebody else quarterbacking this team is more successful than Deshaun Watson. But I wonder, you know, first of all, is there any way you think they could go back to it if Deshaun or DTR, if DTR ends up being the quarterback, is reasonably successful? And then how do the Browns go about that?
Yeah, I don't think you can bring back Watson as your starter. I mean, you could bring him back as a backup because you're paying him a ton of money, and maybe financially and salary cap wise, you just can't afford to part with him. I could see that scenario, but I don't see a way where you head into the offseason program or training camp or whatever and say Watson's the guy. You just haven't seen enough from him on the field, and that's number one. But also, how could you count on him? The guy hasn't been on the field for a full season since 2020. How do you put all your eggs in that basket again? It made some sense this year, thinking he was healthy coming off the shoulder. He played pretty well when he played last year, and you had 3 years left on the contract. Mm-hmm. But those things have changed. It's another year with an injury. He's getting older. It's only 2 years left on the contract. All those factors. And then the biggest one is when other people play quarterback, the offense is better. And I don't know how you can ignore that if you're anybody in that organization.
Yeah, I kind of want to dig into that because, you know, with the offensive line yesterday and what we were able to saw with Teller back, and I mean, let's face it, the offensive line only gave up two sacks yesterday.
And DeJuan Jones.
And DeJuan Jones looked comfortable for the first time all season. You know, just break that down and tell me, is that all on the quarterback?
It's not all on the quarterback. And that's why it's really hard to say, okay, this change, and that's the reason. Because there's a million factors. The receivers were open and caught passes. The line protected better. And Kevin Stefanski brought that up right away. Joe Bitonio mentioned, yeah, you get Wyatt Teller back. He's a really good player at right guard. Ethan Posick is in his second game back after dealing with some knee injuries. He's getting healthier. You have DeJuan Jones, who I think is getting healthier. He had a couple weeks where he was on the bench, and whatever impact that has on a player, came back, gets his chance at left tackle, works really hard during the week, and played pretty well. So I think those things are true, that helped the protection. But what can't be ignored is a quarterback that knows where to go with the ball, a quarterback that doesn't bail at the first sign of a compromised pocket and run into sacks, those also skew the sack numbers. So I think the protection is better, but I also think having Winston running the show and getting the ball out of his hand and standing in the pocket while, you know, the rush was closing in, I think that also makes the line look better, and it makes the protection, it reduces those sack numbers.
Before we get to the defense, the wide receivers looked pretty good yesterday. Mm-hmm. You had four guys, including David Njoku, with five catches and at least 60 yards. Quarterback play or opportunity, especially for a guy like Cedric Tillman? But Elijah Moore looked like he's never looked here before.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to the quarterback. He gave those guys a bunch of opportunities. Again, it's not only that. I mean, when you convert some third downs, which the Vons did yesterday for, you know, one of the few times this year, then it gives you more plays, and it gives you more chances to get the ball to guys. All those things are factors. But the biggest factor is a quarterback that gives these guys a chance. So on those plays that we would watch and go, well, why didn't Winston throw to Judy on a deep cross? Winston threw to Judy on a deep cross. Or he threw the out to Elijah Moore when maybe Watson didn't think it was open, and Winston threw it into tight coverage and made the throw. I think that's the biggest reason those guys look better. And, yes, they're getting more opportunities without Amari Cooper here. Cedric Tillman certainly. But Elijah Moore's played a ton this season. Cedric Tillman's played a lot this season. Not as much as he did yesterday, but a lot. So, I would say that the quarterback change was the biggest factor in that.
How about the team's ability to hold Derrick Henry under 75 yards? I know he only had 11 carries, and it felt like Harbaugh was like, I think he felt like they needed a pass at the end of the game and not run, but I think that says something about the defense. And let's be honest, you know, Baltimore had zero respect for the Browns' defense coming out of the gate on this thing when they decided to go for it on fourth down in the first drive.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why they went for it, and you got the best offense in the league, but that was a huge play. You know, we focus on the last drive, and obviously that's important, but keeping Baltimore from scoring on the first drive is huge. They did a really good job against Derrick Henry, and I talked to guys last week, and I wrote a story, I think it was Friday, that Derrick Henry's the kind of guy that tests the commitment of the defense, especially when you've lost five in a row and you're 1-6, because you have to bring it against Derrick Henry. If not, you get run over or you look silly. You know, you look like you're not trying, right? You're making those business decisions. And the Browns did not shy away from Derrick Henry. He had the 139-yard run where Miles kind of gets blocked inside and Greg Newsome has the edge and misses him at the line of scrimmage. That was it. Other than that, I think it was 3 yards of carry, the big fourth down stop, like you mentioned. So I thought the defense played really well. You can only hold Lamar so often. He's just unbelievable, so elusive. But taking the Henry threat away and not making that a 1-2 monster gave him the ability to win the game.
The one concern I had about the defense, and it was last year, was kind of like situational defense. And I thought the same thing yesterday. Man, you need a stop here. You got to get a stop. And they didn't. You know, Baltimore went down and scored, and then Baltimore went down and put themselves in position to win the game. Well, what's going on there? That's a little weird to me that has happened more often than you would think from what I think is a really good unit.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Jeff. I don't know if that's just, you know, there's so much sense of urgency there for the offense that, you know, the defense has a hard time not keeping up with it. But, you know, the offense is going to make some plays, and that's when the offense makes them. Not to use an excuse, but they're missing Denzel Ward, which he's their best corner, and that changes how they can cover. JOK wasn't in the game for that fourth quarter, and that makes a difference because he's, you know, one of their three best players on defense. So, but it's certainly an area that needs to be addressed. And if they had given up that last touchdown, then yeah, then you could take them to complete task. But the fact that they got the stop at the end when they needed, even though it was a hard spot for Baltimore to be in, I think that does, it certainly counts in the defense's favor and helps counter the touchdown they gave up on the drive before.
How concerned are we with Denzel's concussion? What is this, six now?
Six.
And that's just at the NFL level. Correct. Who knows what happened at Ohio State or at Nordonia? So this sounds like serious family conversation once you get it. I mean, we don't know what the severity was of yesterday because every concussion is different. But,
right.
I mean, we've already walked down this road with him prior to the season starting. And, you know, I wish him health first before, you know, I love watching him play, but I'd much rather see him, you know, have a healthy, active life with his family.
No, I completely agree, Andy. And, I mean, it's been a discussion with Denzel for years. You know, I think we started talking about it when he got number four, Denzel. And he has been steadfast that he loves to play football. He can't think of himself doing anything else. He took his after the one in training camp, he took his family with him to see a specialist in Pittsburgh so they could have their questions answered. And he said they came away from there feeling good. He said it was more about his family than him, that, you know, he was committed to playing, but they wanted to hear the specialist. And he says the specialists tell him, as long as you wait long enough to return, there's no danger in the number of concussions. That it resets. Now, I'm just telling you what he said. That it resets. So I expect them to give him a lot of time with this one. Luckily, from a football perspective, they have the bye coming up after this game, so you get a couple of weeks off. But yeah, it's certainly concerning. I think every time it happens, he and his family have to talk about it, whether it's worth it. And you see the same thing going on with Tua down in Miami, and he comes back. And I understand it from a player perspective, but yeah, it is a conversation, and it's certainly a worry watching it.
Yeah, I also think that one of the interesting parts about concussions, I think that technology might start. We're never going to know, though, because they can't tell the CTE stuff until they can figure out CTE while you're still with us, right? I don't know. But it does seem like there's some technology coming up down the road that might be able to curb the return to play time on this concussion. But you got to wonder how long that's going to take. But it does sound like there's some of that stuff in the pipeline coming up.
Yeah, some blood tests and stuff they can do. Yeah, you've heard about that for a while. I was on a tour yesterday. We had the NFL's head medical guy and then the Browns head doctor, and they walked us through like some game day procedures, and one of them was how they deal with concussions. We got to go in the blue medical tent, and yeah, it was really interesting. And they said that if you rule a guy out, that means he has a concussion. But the way the Browns said it yesterday was right away they weren't sure if Denzel had a concussion, which seems to me that, I don't know if you can say it wasn't as serious, but there were questions whether or not he was okay, whether he wasn't okay, and then eventually he got diagnosed with the concussion.
Part of that, though, Scott, is, I mean, you're relying on the athlete to tell you that they're suffering symptoms.
Right. Well, they do a test in the
baseline,
you know,
test
in the thing, and then they take him in the locker room, do a more extensive test, and even then they weren't ready to say it was a concussion for a while. But yeah, and you know, it the way it happened too, he left after the first defensive play of the third quarter. Mm-hmm. And it was a sack where he wasn't involved in a play. So I don't know, I haven't seen it yet rewatching the game, whether he gets hit away from the ball or maybe it happened in the first half and running around to start the third quarter, he just didn't feel right. So all those things are certainly concerning for just Denzel as a person.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's coverage. Does a game like yesterday, maybe what we'll see what happens against the Chargers, change anything philosophy-wise heading into the trade deadline?
I think it could. I think if they win Sunday to get to 3-6 and 1-2 in a row, and the players feel like, I mean, just talking to guys after the game, they haven't given up on the playoffs. You know, Myles Garrett's talking about it. Everybody's talking, or a lot of guys are still hanging on to that hope. And I think if you're the Browns, is trading player X for a fifth-round draft pick worth it enough to compromise your play the rest of the season? And that's a tough decision that Andrew Berry's going to make. Now, even if they win against the Chargers, I think you'll see a player or two get traded if they can get the right return. You know, is that Za'Darius Smith for a third-round pick? I think they probably still make that trade. But I don't think it would be the quote-unquote fire sale that I was anticipating if, you know, they go into the bye 1-8 versus 3-6.
Thank you, sir. Always appreciate your joining us on Mondays.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Brownzone.com. Brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work as he does a tremendous job of covering the Browns. We'd love your thoughts. You know, the offense was better yesterday. I don't think there's any question. I don't think if the quarterbacks go out and play something that resembles what we saw yesterday, and again, the one, you know, there's always seems to be one little caveat. Yesterday's caveat is the Ravens, though historically a really good defense, have the worst pass defense in the NFL right now. Right now, if the quarterbacks can keep going, is there any way that you could buy Deshaun Watson as the starting quarterback of this team next year? I personally don't think so. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.